This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله. All praise be to Allah سبحانه وتعالى. If you are listening to this, then Alhamdulillah, we have, by the grace of Allah, we've reached the month of Ramadan, Ramadan 1441, Ramadan 2020. May Allah سبحانه وتعالى bless us and grant us all the goodness of this month of Ramadan. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. If ever we had a question whether Allah سبحانه وتعالى loves us, and he has, you know, we are dear to him, then the fact that we are here in this month, in this very, very sacred, holy month, where we have an opportunity to get into Jannah, the fact that Allah has gifted us with this, then surely, you know, take comfort in that. The same way, you know, the Hujjaj feel honored that Allah has invited me to come for pilgrimage. Remember, Allah has only selected a few of us to be here the month of Ramadan as believers and to keep, uphold the month in fasting, inshallah, to get the full benefits of this. So, this is really the most important event for us during the year, and it is unlike any other opportunity. There's so many rewards in the month of Ramadan. We spoke about this so many times. There's an opportunity to get all our sins forgiven. There's an opportunity to get our place in Jannah secured. There's an opportunity to get the highest levels of Jannah bi-ibnillah, that our du'as can be answered, that everything in our life can be fixed during this month of Ramadan. 30 days is all that we need bi-ibnillah to, you know, level the scales, or to bring the scales heavy in the side of righteousness, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of the month can grant us this taqwa, walhamdulillah. Before I begin, we all know that this is a unique Ramadan. Usually I would be in the masjid, alhamdulillah, we would have just completed our taraweeh together. And so it is unfortunate, you know, because of how Allah has changed the situation. We hope for the best, but we are now, of course, experiencing Ramadan in the COVID-19 world. And just a point on that, there's a hadith I want to start off with, a strange hadith, got to do with the Dajjal. Absolutely nothing to do with Ramadan and nothing to do with our topic. There's a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ speaks about Dajjal, and he warns the Ummah about the Dajjal, and he tells the Sahaba of the things Dajjal would do and of the powers he would have by the grace of Allah. Allah would give it to him. And so of the things Dajjal would do is that he would be able to play with time, where one day would be like a year. And the Sahaba, and this shows you their fiqh, their understanding, their focus, the questions that would have come to our mind would be many different kind of questions, and we would ask different things. They might not be completely relevant, but the things which the prophets, with the Sahaba asked, they asked the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how do we perform salah when Dajjal is here and he plays with time? They understood what is important. Even when the world is ending, and when Dajjal comes, it really is, the world is ending, the important things are your salah, your fasting, your Ramadan, your recitation. This is what counts on the day of Qiyamah. And so, no matter where you find yourself this month of Ramadan, how you find it, remember what was important is that we continue with our ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, when we begin Ramadan, the beginning of an act of worship is very, very important. The Prophet ﷺ tells us our deeds will be judged according to the way we begin that act. And therefore, the important part of the beginning, as we enter the month of Ramadan, as we start Ramadan, what is important for us is to begin with the correct niyyah. Niyyah isn't just, now wait to, I'm going to fast tomorrow. That is not just the niyyah. Niyyah is the objective. What do you want to take out of this worship? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us what we should aspire for at the end of the month of Ramadan is la'allakum tattaqun. It is hoped that perhaps, hopefully, that we will attain taqwa. Taqwa means we will have a relationship with Allah. And so, the example of the one who does not have a proper niyyah, an objective set at the beginning of the ibadah, is like the farmer who, you know, digs a hole and he waters the hole and he, you know, exposes it to the sunlight, but he forgets to put the seed in it. No matter how much effort he puts in that hole, he will not get anything that will come out of it of benefit. And so the seed of must be planted, and that is the niyyah. And so as you begin, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, allow us, ya Allah, at the end of this month, that we attain taqwa, we attain your forgiveness, we attain our place in Jannah, we attain a closeness with you. Taqwa is a relationship with Allah. So as we go through this month, we are going to be focused, everything's for Allah. Why am I fasting? Why am I depriving myself of my food, my drink? This is for the sake, because Allah wants us to do so, to please him. And we stand in salah for his sake. And so, inshallah, we will continue to do that which is important of us in the month of Ramadan. Of course, the other important aspect of Ramadan, there are a number of aspects. So, the most important aspect of Ramadan, when Allah speaks about Ramadan in the Quran, Allah mentions what makes Ramadan special is the Quran itself. And that is, therefore, it is a relation, having a bond with the Quran. So when Allah speaks about the month of Ramadan, Allah does not say Shahru Ramadan, the month of Ramadan is the month of fasting, or it is the month of Qiyamul Layl. No, Allah says it is the month of Quran. And because the Quran came down in Ramadan, that is what makes Ramadan special. And therefore we fast and we pray extra in the month of Ramadan. And so naturally, everything we do in the month of Ramadan, every program we do should have a theme or should have a focus on the Quran. And so, bi-idhnillah, our theme for this month, we'll continue to give our lectures. You know, we want to continue doing the good, in even though we in this new kind of Ramadan where we're at home, we will not allow, because the masjid is not available, that we stop doing our good deeds. In fact, now we need to do even more good deeds. And so we will continue sharing the lectures and learning for my sake and your sake. We benefit. And so, inshallah, this month, our theme is the heart of the Quran. The heart of the Quran, meaning Surah Yasin. Our focus, inshallah, this month would be the tafsir of Surah Yasin, bi-ibnillah, so that we can become closer to the Quran, inshallah. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Some questions, and I encourage you to share your questions. People have asked, how do we make Salah or Taraweeh in the month of Ramadan when we're not able to go to the masjids? We gave a short Q&A, I think, on Thursday evening, and it's available if you haven't received it, on how to do certain rulings with regards to COVID-19. One question on that. Taraweeh has always been the essence of Taraweeh. It was meant to be done at home and not in the masjid. And it was meant to be individual and not in a congregation. That's how the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did his Taraweeh. But it's also permissible and it is good to do in congregation if it encourages each other to pray together. So if you are at home and you want to perform your own Taraweeh in your room, alhamdulillah, that is fine. If you want to do it in a jama'ah as a family, that is also fine. There are certain prerequisites. For example, the imam has to be a mukallaf male. The men will be in front and the sisters will be behind. If it's a mixed jama'ah, meaning men and women, then unfortunately a sister cannot be the imam. However, if you have a jama'ah of just ladies, then yes, one of the sisters can be the imam. And what do you recite during Taraweeh? You can recite anything of the Quran. You can recite long, you can recite short, you can recite from memory, you can hold the Mus'haf in your hand if you wish to do so. And one of the reasons why we chose Surah Yasin is that many people, speaking to them, they would feel that the longest surah that they have or that they are comfortable reciting is Surah Yasin. This is something which they've been doing, you know, since they were young. They were used to reciting Surah Yasin, and so maybe every evening they will recite Surah Yasin as part of their individual Taraweeh. And therefore we wanted to take the opportunity to teach us, inshallah, Surah Yasin. And that is our theme. As we said, the Prophet ﷺ says everything, this hadith in Tirmidhi, he says everything has a heart, a center. And the heart, the center of the Quran is Surah Yasin, is Yasin. And so let us understand what makes the surah so special. Why is it that we recite it so frequently? And what are the rewards to Surah Yasin? We'll talk about that, inshallah, during this month. That is our theme. We will also not only be doing the tafsir of Surah Yasin. Surah Yasin, of course, as we know, is not a very long surah. So we'll discuss other issues of tafsir. We'll do Surah Fatiha to begin with. And maybe if we are there and Allah allows us, we'll even branch off into Surah Mulk, Surah Tabarak as well. So let us begin, inshallah. And before I begin with the tafsir, it's certain important to have certain introductory concepts with regards to the Quran. First thing, what is the Quran? What does the word Quran mean? What is it? The Quran literally means the verbal, it is the recitation. It means the recitation, and it is the verbatim words of Allah. It is the spoken word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. This is what the Quran is, and that is why nobody can add or subtract from it. Nobody can truly translate it. Nobody can fully comprehend it, because this is an aspect of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, his speech. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala released or revealed or shared the Quran in two stages. One stage, he sent the entire Quran down from his hidden knowledge to the library in the lower sama called the Lawh al-Mahfuz, the preserved tablet, and there it remained for a period of time. And then the angel Jibreel brought pieces of the Quran down to the Prophet in the month of Ramadan, or rather over a period of 23 years, beginning with Ramadan, when the Prophet had reached the age of 40. And if we imagine a puzzle, so you have a puzzle on the table, if you were to give one piece of the puzzle to somebody, this is how the Quran was revealed to the Prophet, sometimes from the surah, and then a piece from the next surah, and then at the end of the Quran, and the beginning of the Quran, and this is how it was revealed. And every year, in the month of Ramadan, Jibreel and the Prophet would revise the Quran together. So just as we will make an extra effort in this this month to read a little bit more Quran, whatever it might be, to exceed and to go beyond what is normal. Even the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went through this kind of training, and it was all verbal. The Prophet ﷺ received the revelation verbally, and he revised with Jibreel in a verbal manner. And the Quran, as we know, is divided into chapters, which are called surahs. And inside the surah, there are verses, which are called ayat. Now, a verse, if you look at the dictionary, the word ayah does not mean verse. It means a sign or a miracle. And the reason why Allah calls the verses of the Quran His ayat, meaning these are signs, these are evidences, these are miracles for people to understand and to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran has 114 chapters or surahs, and it has 6,200 and some odd ayat. There are some differences of opinion as to how many ayat. We'll talk about why that is. It doesn't mean one Quran is longer than the other one. We'll talk about that as well, inshallah. And when the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away, so after 23 years, the Quran had now completely been revealed, all the pieces had been given to him, and the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had memorized it and had taught it to his ummah. Now the mission was done, the job was complete, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away. When he passed away, there was no dispute amongst the Sahaba. There was no question marks amongst the companions what is inside the Quran and what should not be in the Quran. There is not a single verse in the Quran where there's a question mark. Should this be here or shouldn't it be part of the Quran? Or is there some other verses that are omitted? We don't have any of this, again, except for one verse. There is one verse in the whole Quran where there's a question mark. Is this part of the Quran or not part of the Quran? We'll talk about that verse tomorrow as well, inshallah. This will become more clearer tomorrow, inshallah. So there's no question marks as to what are the verses of the Quran. And there is no dispute as to where, in which surah do these verses, in which chapters do these ayat go in. For example, is Ayatul Kursi in Surah Baqarah? Is it in Surah Ali Imran? Should it be in Surah Fatiha? Where does Ayatul Kursi fit? There's no dispute. Everyone knows, and the Sahaba knew exactly, and the Prophet ﷺ taught them in this way, that exactly where it should be. And the order, they knew which ayat were the beginning and which ayat were in the middle and which one was at the end. Because if you change the order of the ayat, it could change the meaning of the Quran. And so the Sahaba were very sure about that. Then the Prophet ﷺ, when he passed away, and in the time of the companions, there were a number of Sahaba or Khufad, and they died during the wars that happened afterwards. And so it was through a discussion and an agreement amongst the Sahaba to compile the whole Quran in a book. And this was not done in the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They rather, bits and pieces were written down, but not the whole Quran compiled into a book. And so they agreed to put together what is called a mushaf. So a brother even asked me today, what is the word mushaf? Mushaf is a Quran that is written down. And so usually here in Cape Town, we'll say, bring me my Quran. The Quran is there on the shelf. The correct word is actually the mushaf. The mushaf is there. That is a Quran in a written form. And so we know that Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had it commissioned. And so the mushaf was compiled. And during the compilation of the mushaf, there were some elements of ijtihad, certain things which the Sahaba decided. This was not from Allah and not from the Prophet ﷺ. This was an agreement amongst the Sahaba, like this fatwa basically of the Sahaba. Of the things that they did, they added titles to the surah. So certain chapters, they didn't have names. Some chapters did have names, Surah Baqarah, Surah Fatiha, they did have names, and others of them didn't have names, or they had multiple names. So you'd find certain chapters of the Quran, Surah Isra, for example, is also called Surah Bani Israel. You'd find certain mushafs have different namings. This was from the Sahaba. Also, which surahs come where in the Quran, the order of these 114 surahs. This was also basically a element of ijtihad from the Sahaba, an element of decision making amongst the Sahaba. One surah should be here and that one should be there. And this was from the understanding of the Quran. And then also we find, and this is gives you a reason why certain Qurans have more or less verses, where the verse begins and ends. So is it one long verse? And maybe if you can imagine a longish sentence in English where it has a number of commas, is it a full stop or is it a comma? The sentence is the same, but do we stop or do we just pause? And this is where the Sahaba, certain ayat, there are question marks whether the ayah is one long ayah or is it two ayahs with a pause in the middle. And so some of the ayat, there were questions, and the Sahaba, this is where they were. They used their ijtihad. Some Sahaba said, no, we should stop here. It's a new ayah. Others said, no, it's one long ayah. The ayah is the same though, but the pause is where the question is. And that is something we'll discuss more in detail. So this is with regards to the Quran. As for tafsir, what does tafsir mean? Tafsir means understanding the meaning behind the words, understanding the meaning of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that it is He who has sent down to you, O Muhammad, the book. In it are verses which are clear and they are precise. These are the foundations of the Quran. So Allah is saying in the Quran, the vast majority of the ayat are very clear and easy to understand. Then Allah says, and there are other ayat that are other verses that are unspecific or ambiguous. Their meaning is not so clear. So as for those in whose hearts there is a disease, they will follow that which is unclear. They would constantly focus on the ayat which are a bit complicated. Why? Seeking discord, seeking fitna, and seeking an interpretation which is suitable to them, putting in their own meanings into the Quran. Whereas, and Allah says, and nobody fully understands the interpretation except Allah. Only Allah understands the Quran completely. And as for those in firm knowledge, Allah says, they say, we believe in it, all of it is from Allah. All of it is from our Lord, and no one will be reminded except those of understanding. So there are elements in the Quran which are not so clear. And there are some parts that nobody knows. Even Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam doesn't know. For example, what does Alif Lam Mim mean? What does Yasin mean? Nobody knows. This is from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So, tafsir is the study of the interpretation, the meaning, the understanding of the Quran. It is, of course, a bit more academic and more of a study. And so, we will go, inshallah, this month. Our job is to give the tafsir and the meaning of Surah Yasin. What are its themes? What are its messages? What is it to be learned? Are there any laws to be extracted? We'll talk about that, inshallah. And how do we give tafsir? Tafsir, who teaches us? Where do I get my information from, basically? Sometimes Allah Himself gives tafsir. So, in example, Allah subhanahu says, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. What will make you understand what Laylatul Qadr is? What is the meaning of Laylatul Qadr? Laylatul Qadr خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. The night of Laylatul Qadr is better than 1,000 months. So who gave the tafsir? The Quran itself gave the tafsir. Allah Himself gave the tafsir. There are other verses where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave the tafsir. He gave us the meaning. For example, the last verse of Surah Fatiha, غَيْرِ الْمَغْدُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. Oh Allah, let's not be of those who you are angry with and those who have gone astray. Who are these people that Allah is angry with and those who have gone astray? The Prophet ﷺ himself, he gives the interpretation of this. We'll talk about that, inshallah, in the coming days. Then, of course, you have tafsir of the Sahaba. The Sahaba gave their interpretation, and of course, they are the best at giving tafsir. Why? Because number one, the Quran was revealed in their language. You must understand the language, and the way it was spoken for you to understand the words. It, of course, the interpretation must agree with the words and the context. Remember the Sahaba, they were there when the ayat came down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many times He would send a verse or a piece of the Quran down in response to a situation. In fact, you have in the Quran, Allah will say, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ They ask you about this. Someone comes, Ya Rasulullah, tell me what I must do in this situation. And before the Prophet ﷺ could answer the man, verses Allah Himself gave the answer as Quran. And so, the Sahaba being in that context, they would know exactly what is the meaning of the verse and what is the understanding of it. And so inshallah, this is how we will put forward our tafsir of Surah Yasin. When it came down, why did it come down, what do the words mean, inshallah. Question someone asked, what is the difference between tafsir and translation? Translation is taking the Quran and translating it from Arabic into English, you know, representing it into English. And it does not, there is no pure translation of the Quran. The Quran cannot be fully transmitted in another language. Quran can only be in Arabic. And sometimes, you take for example the translation of Yusuf Ali, in there will be bits and pieces of tafsir, but it's not a complete explanation of the Quran. It is only little bits of information that is added. Rather, it is just putting the Quran in an English format. And so for those of us who would like to have a book to read, the only tafsir, well, the best tafsir in the English language that has been translated is the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, the summarized version of Ibn Kathir. So if you'd like to, for your own reading, you can download this for free. There are many books of tafsir in Arabic, of course. We have the tafsir of many Sahaba, we have the tafsir of many scholars, Tabari, Qurtubi is a great scholar from Cordova in Spain. And then of course the most famous tafsir is that of medieval scholar Ibn Kathir, rahimullah. He wrote a tafsir. This tafsir has been summarized and then translated into English, and that is available online. And inshallah, we'll be using these texts and these books, and I'll explain where I get these tafsirs from. And you are more than welcome, and inshallah, it's encouraged that all of us should actually go and read the tafsir of the Quran to understand what is it that I'm reciting when I read the Quran. What is it that I'm? What is the meaning of it? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. May Allah make the fasting easy and grant us the full benefits. May Allah grant us the full reward of the month of Ramadan. May Allah accept our ibadat, our standing, our recitation, our charity, and may Allah grant us our du'as accepted, and that we return very soon to the masjids, and may this calamity be removed bi-idhnillah. Jazakallah khair. Thank you so much. Any questions, concerns, or comments, westmuhammad@gmail.com. A last note, we will continue doing our quiz. So usually we do this at the masjid, but we will now do this online, and you will receive a link. When you open that link, you will have a few Q&As. You answer them, and then inshallah your email will be kept, and then on a weekly basis we'll have a log to see who's leading, and at the end of the week the leader, you know, who's got the most correct answers, that person will inshallah get a prize, and then we'll have a grand winner at the end of the month bi-idhnillah. Shukran so much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.